What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Woo!
We bring in the Clippers news 5 days a week, most of the days of the week.
Yeah, 5 days a week.
5 days a week, yeah.
Unless something truly crazy happens on the weekends.
And yeah, absolutely. And some extra content, you know, on Twitter.
Charles, oh, yeah, for sure.
There for you.
Way too much.
Anyways, we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. Huge game today.
Biggest game of the year right now?
I don't know if it's the... It's in that tier.
Yeah.
It's in that echelon for sure.
Huge game.
That is, of course, against the Denver Nuggets here in Los Angeles. If you're at Staples, by the way, holler at us. At
yeah, come say what's up.
Yeah. We'd love to say what's up. So we're going to be getting into what we need to do well to win that one, as well as what could go wrong. And then...
A look ahead to this matchup with the 76ers on Sunday.
I gotta be honest. I like you. Tell the people what you brought up earlier.
There's so many. So, spoiler alert: they're without Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons.
Devastating.
And the season was already going weird for the 76ers. I think this is a trap game. There's too much weird stuff in the air to be comfortable with this game. I think
that's fair.
It depends how we look against the Nuggets. We'll get into that anyway.
It's a fair assessment. So we'll be breaking down that one as well. And then there's a great vacation themed love, marry, kill for you.
Oh, yeah.
So all that and more coming up right about now.
So the Clippers take on the Nuggets. Downtown LAC game. When you listen to this, it's going to be happening on Friday night. Too Short will be performing.
I can't believe this. I'm so excited.
It's the Too Short game, dude.
I'm really excited.
I'm very excited, too. This is a huge game.
Huge.
Everyone is healthy for both sides,
mm-hmm.
which, praise Ja. We're one game back of the Nuggets for the second seed.
Yes.
Both teams have won two games in a row. The Nuggets are a little better on the road than we are, but we pretty much have the same home records, 23-6 versus 23-7.
Yeah.
The last two games we've seen from the Clippers have been fantastic from a momentum prep aspect.
Ooh, I like that. You momentum know what I mean? Prep.
Just like getting that momentum in place.
I agree. Yeah. They've been gel games.
Only time we've played them this year we lost, and that was without Paul George.
Yes.
Oh, I was mistaken. Sorry, the Nuggets will be without Bol Bol. So
wow.
Does that change things?
I gotta throw this out
the window. So we can both agree that this is a very important game. This is a winnable game.
Definitely.
Given what happened last time, what do we need to do well?
I'd like to see us just kind of overwhelm them with offense immediately.
Here for it.
And obviously there's a lot of things that go into that, but like just getting sets run for guys right away. We're outscoring them by around 5 points per 100 possessions, which is solid. And I just think they're going to struggle to contain our larger wings. Obviously, they've got a big... front court.
Yes, they do. And it can get even bigger.
And they can go super huge on us, but I do think that they will struggle to contain us on the perimeter, with a caveat being that like the 3-point shooting is gonna have to be there. We're currently tied with the Nuggets for the 10th best we're currently tied for the 10th best 3-point percentage in the league. Denver is 17th. Sorry.
Okay. We can.
We're talking with the Kings, actually.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. We need to dominate. We need to shoot better than 24% from three.
Yes.
That's what we shot last time. We lost by 10.
Yeah.
We only made 8 threes.
Wow.
Astonishing. They only made 11.
Okay.
Which is also, I think, kind of astonishing, too.
All right.
But this goes into my next thing. They hold opponents to 34% from beyond the arc. Third best in the league.
They're stingy.
Stingy. Bev shooting from the one is going to be huge to start. Mm-hmm. Like, if Bev hits a couple threes,
yeah,
it's that immediately ruins the other team. Like, they're like, ah, damn it. The weak link is doing his thing.
And against that backcourt, too, I mean, they're probably going to slack off of Bev a little bit, I would imagine.
I think Jamal Murray is probably going to slack off of Bev. And then this ties into it. We need to dominate their paint. We beat them in the paint 50-34 last time.
This is astonishing.
And we saw still this lost.
Astonishing.
Yeah. I don't know. If our shooting is remotely close to what it can be, it's going to make our it's going to make things a lot easier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just having Paul George on the floor in general is going to...
Vibe-wise? I mean, if we're talking vibe...
If we're talking vibe, it's going to be fantastic.
I agree. And just going off of dominating the paint, like, hitting the glass well is going to be huge. We're currently grabbing... The Clippers are grabbing 73% of their available defensive rebounds, which...
Which I thought was elite.
Which sounds stunning.
That's a lot.
It's
three quarters. That's half a load of laundry.
Yeah, absolutely. But it is... it's only good for, I believe, like 11th in the league. 13th, even 13th. Worse.
And the Bucks are one, right? I'm just guessing.
The Bucks, 77% of defensive.
That makes sense.
But both these teams are really stingy in second chance points. So I think the offensive boards is somewhere where we could carve out a little niche, just generating more opportunities for guys.
Do you put that more on Zoo getting those offensive boards?
Bev.
I was thinking Bev. Bev's rebounding will have to be big.
I'd like to see us taking a lot of threes and shots from deep. So those are kind of
air raid.
To me, those are kind of Bev long territory boards.
For sure. Yeah, right around like the foul line and all those weird boards where he just gets in.
Yeah.
And can grab them.
100%. And we're both teams are really stingy, like I said, in second chance points. 7th and 8th in the league. We're separated by like a 10th of a point.
Ugh.
So I think that this is like one of those little keys.
That
where
second
like,
chance points thing, Mike, that's going to be huge.
Could be big. Could be big. What could go wrong?
Offensive
in this one?
Boards and second chance points. Keep an eye on those while you're watching the game. They go big and give us problems if something could go wrong. Jokic and Plumlee is an absurd combination by itself, and the fact that they can run the pick and roll together is also absurd.
Yeah.
Doc's rotations are going to be interesting to watch. We started Patterson the last time without Paul George.
That's right. Yeah.
So I guess there could be a chance we see Pat and Zoo sharing the floor at some point.
You think so?
Maybe.
That's interesting.
If they go Plumlee, Jokic, when you guys do absorb contact, and in terms of like you look at the health of the team and
you don't trust Morris to be large enough in that role?
I do, but I think I'd rather have Pat taking that abuse.
You know, we've talked about that. Like, that's a good role for Pat. Like, taking it on defensively.
I feel like he likes it. He likes making people upset, it seems like. So, I think Pat... But no, I think there's going to be Zoo and then some giant person out there, too. But we've talked about how the Clippers are, like, they have small ball lineups.
Yeah.
But they're large small ball lineups.
They're a beefier small ball.
So if you're
lineup.
The Nuggets, I think you just go. You're like, fine, you want to do your weird small ball lineup, we'll just put 2 7-footers out there.
So you think that we could see some of the shortcomings of a smaller lineup in this one?
If the rotations aren't on point, yes. Doc's rotations are going to be pretty critical in any game where we play guys with 2 7-footers.
Yeah.
Who are also, one of which being like the most skilled center in the league.
I think going along with that size, if we don't control the ball well, they average 8 steals a game,
damn,
which is good for 6th in the NBA.
I would not have expected that. I can't tell you why I wouldn't have expected it, but I wouldn't have.
So I think that, the like controlling the turnovers is going to be huge, and just being able to move the ball to really break down that defense.
Where should we move the ball from?
Oh, side to side.
One side of the court, too. Couldn't agree more. Yeah, this they're a top 10 team in offensive rating and defensive rating. So kind of all around we need to be good. We're 6th in what, both? I'm pretty sure. With the fully healthy roster, our chances look way better than last outing.
Yeah.
For sure. I just hope the chemistry is there. I think it will be, but I want it to be there if we start cold, if something like that happens and we can't bounce back. I think it's going to be trouble in this game.
Definitely. Definitely. So let's get into some key matchups.
This is kind of a team one. I put Zoo and Trez versus Jokic.
Yes. Do you think that we see Kawhi on him for some stretches?
I don't think so.
Really?
I think maybe Morris.
That's fair. Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, because like the ball handling isn't there to where it's like we need someone real quick on their feet in front of them. Like, we don't necessarily need Kawhi's quickness.
Yeah.
As much, like, that could be better used maybe on Murray.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. It's cutting off like some of those, cutting off some of those weapons for Jokic to pass to seems a lot more important than
like last time we played. He had 20, 15, and 6, and against Zoo and Trez, he shot a combined 6 of 13. Actually, shot worse against Trez.
Okay,
2 of 5, which is interesting. Offensively, Zoo had 0 recorded attempts against Jokic, according to stats.nba.com, which I was kind of surprised by. I think it was a byproduct of having to start Lou and Patterson and things just being kind of fucked up.
This is also...
for lack of a better term.
This seems like a matchup that Zoo would love.
Yeah, of course.
He loves to take on challenges of like... you know, big men. I don't know if I would consider Jokic a dominant big man in like the absolutely. Same in the same way.
I think
of
he
like,
absolutely is.
Yeah. But you hear what I'm saying? Like he's not like necessarily in the same way that like I don't know Joel Embiid or something like that. It's different
for sure.
Different strokes, different brushes.
Trez went 3 for 4 against Jokic.
That also does not surprise me.
So as did Lou, because they were getting crazy switches on the pick and roll.
Yeah.
So I think we're gonna attack him early. When Zoo is inevitably pulled, this goes back to the rotations. Is like who's going to be the first guard off the bench?
Yeah,
I always want it to be Shamit. That's something I talked about when you weren't here. But like, I always want it to be Shamit. But in this game, it's like let's do Lou and Trez first two off the bench.
I mean, Doc loves that. Doc loves that sub.
He really does love that sub. What other matchups we got in here?
Just bench versus bench. I mean, this Denver team is deep.
They're like deep-ish.
They're deep in that there's not...
They're deep like when you're a kid and you go on the 5-foot part of the pool. And you're like, whoa. And then you grow up and you're like, it's not that deep.
They're deep that they can put out lineups without having to put out any like bad players. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
So like, I think that is definitely strong. They you know, like there's not like the...
They're deep in the sense that they're not playing someone who is of, I don't know, call me crazy, Rodney Magruder's. Level.
Yeah.
And their immediate secondary lineup.
Yeah, definitely.
No disrespect to Roddy Magruder. He's just not very good at basketball right now.
Sorry, Rod.
Want you to be.
Love it.
Amir Coffey apparently is better. Sham had 0 points last time we played.
Okay.
He's going to be coming off the bench. That's probably not going to happen again. So this could be kind of a bench statement game. I feel like kind of the depth of the Clippers has been questioned lately. I mean, just because everyone's been hurt. So this could be a nice like, oh,
who's questioning the depth?
A bunch of people we don't listen to.
Send them my way.
Yeah, tell me something. Like, you got time on your hand. No, but like this,
drop a pin.
This could be a nice like, oh, the Clippers bench is a problem or some dumbass street like that where it's like everyone already knew this when everyone's healthy.
Yeah. Like that Grizzlies game, I feel like that was a great bench statement game.
So getting like, if the starters can give them some cushion that maybe allows for some growing pains in the middle, like of the bench play, that'd be nice. But I think our bench can...
Do you think...
Trez was the only double-digit bench scorer last game.
I'm going to toss this one in there.
Because we had to start Luke.
I'm sorry. No. Sorry to step on your toes. Clippers versus consistency. We saw like some...
Oh, God.
We saw some... A very...
Battle of the year right there.
A very interesting... And I'm not even talking about like continuity of health, but like just consistency in play. We saw an interesting start and close that got a little close for comfort in that Phoenix game.
Interesting is a very nice way to put it.
It'd be nice, you know, like we can't
just
afford
a consistent performance.
Yeah, we just can't really afford those type of slip ups against
the Nuggets.
Yeah, in a game like this against the Nuggets, so it'd be nice to see like just wire to wire.
Yeah, last one I have Kawhi versus Jeremy Grant.
Okay,
Jeremy Grant came off the bench in the last time game the Nuggets played.
Uh huh.
But when we played the Nuggets, he held Kawhi to 22% shooting. He was literally the only Nugget. It's so funny they're called Nuggets. Who had any success guarding Kawhi? I think Kawhi, the lowest he shot against any other defender was like 45%.
Wow.
So like Jeremy Grant has something.
That's a top shelf nug.
So I'm not sure if he's going to start. I don't know. If I were the Nuggets coach, which I almost was, I think they should maybe put Jeremy Grant on him as much as possible. But we have so many weapons that we're going to be able to seek out the switch.
Are you going to call Malone and maybe tell him that?
God, Malone. Look, I know you beat me out for the job. What's your prediction for this game?
I'm thinking a dub. I'm thinking a dub in this one.
A fat dub or a regular dub?
I think...
City dub or country dub?
I think a little bit in between. I'm going to go... I think it's going to be like 117-110-ish. So,
117-110.
Something like that.
The line currently is Clippers -5.5.
Okay.
Which, hey, they're getting it if they're taking your bet. -5.5.
I think it's going to be, yeah, it's definitely going to be within, I think, 7-ish points, like, is the threshold.
I think we got a barn burner. I think this goes down to, like, last two possessions.
It could be. I think
I think it's, like, Clippers 120, Nuggets 118.
Like it. Jokic
airballs the game-winning shot. let us know what you think is going to happen in this game. I think we got this stuff. I'm so jacked for this game.
Yeah.
Last game I had to go to, I was sick for the Monday game. Last game I went to was the 12:30 against the Kings.
Good times.
Which is the complete opposite of how I feel about going to this game.
That's good
times. Let us know what you think is going to happen in the game against the Nuggets. Let us know if you're excited for Too Short. Really hope he does blow the whistle.
He's got to.
He has to. He has other iconic songs. We'll get into that on Locked On Too Short. Coming up after this, we're going to be... This isn't even a game preview. We're going to be looking ahead to the 76ers versus Clippers game right after this.
All right. So I like what you said that... This could be a possible trap game. Obviously,
there's so many things in the air.
Sixers are missing their two best players.
The two players they need to win.
Yeah.
For the most part. They're kicking the shit out of the Knicks right now, which might be a bad thing. but, I mean,
they're tiring themselves out.
They're tiring themselves out. They have no one to... here's the funny thing. We were talking about this game before we started recording. And we're like, all right, so the Knicks are playing on Thursday, which is when we're recording this. We're like, they got to have a game in between now and Sunday because we're used to the Clippers schedule. No, they don't.
No, the Sixers, don't play.
The 76ers just get to come to L.A. and play the Lakers and Clippers after multiple days of rest, not even on the L.A. back-to-back. Must be nice.
Love it.
Must be nice.
Love it.
Bastards. But no, this might be kind of a weird trap game. I have the utmost confidence the Clippers will win this game, but there's that... tiny part of me that's like, Tobias is still good, Horford is still good, Richardson is good.
I think they're going to...
We didn't have Bev last time, which killed us. It was very apparent.
Yeah. I think they're going to ratchet up their defense. I don't know.
Here's the lineups.
All right.
Shake Melton.
Yep.
I believe is his name. And then Josh Richardson.
Okay.
Glenn Robinson III. Tobias at the 4. Horford at the 5. That's what they played out for the Knicks. And now our starting lineup is Patrick Beverley, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Marcus Morris, and Ivica Zubac. Look, it just seems better. Like,
objectively,
it's good. Right? Like,
yeah.
You look at just the starters and you're like, all right. And then they're depleted.
I guess that's what makes it a trap game. I'd love to get a little streak going, you know?
I would too. We're in the middle of an upswing. If we get that dub on Friday, we're fully on the upswing.
So, I mean, what do we even think could go wrong in this one? I think
a bunch of weird stuff could go wrong in this one.
I mean,
they pair up Kyle Quinn and off Horford, and we have no answer for it. I don't know. That's weird.
Horford is an interesting...
He can flummox any big man on defense.
I was going to say, he's an interesting foil to Trez, for sure.
Yeah.
And if he starts...
And Zoo.
Yeah, and if he starts, definitely. He was a foil to Embiid
a couple years ago. Like, yeah. I don't know. This is such a weird game.
Do you think that we get to see maybe some more experimentation with Morris at the 5 and Jamichael at the 4?
I hope so. I hope we get to see... Because it's a non-conference game.
Mm-hmm.
Let's throw some stuff at the wall, see what sticks.
Yeah.
Like, and if things are going how I think they're going to go, which I'm not going to say out loud because that would mean I'll go the opposite, I think Doc might get a little chaos Doc with the lineups.
Yeah.
What do we need to do well in this game? Other than destroy them with the starting lineup. Because if the starters are +1 against their starters, we're fine.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I'd like to see us hit from 3 early, like, just find the stroke, because I feel like they're going to have trouble just, I mean, like, who's
communicating
there?
And rotating.
Yeah, communicating and rotating, as well as, like, just, like, offensively them getting the volume of shots up there is going to be really difficult for that lineup. I'm going to throw, like, a little bit of a bizarre one out there, but what we need to do well is let's get Trez some rest. I feel like this is a game where it'd be really tempting to have Trez play a very long stretch in the second quarter.
He's going to.
Or in the second half.
Yeah.
Especially if things are going...
Especially if it's the weird trap essence.
Especially, yeah, if it's not like a step on the throat type victory. Hell yeah. You know?
Foot on the throat, dude. That's what it's all about.
If things are a little closer. And that worries me.
That's a fair thing to be worried about.
I get worried about high usage of players in games that are very winnable. Yeah. It's the NBA,
and
though.
I think Doc knows that. We saw Zoo get those fourth quarter minutes the other day, which I'm not sure if that was a dream or not.
It is the NBA, though. Any team can be dangerous on any given night.
You're damn right. We need to stop Horford and Harris. That's like...
And Richardson.
Less worried about him.
Really? He can go off.
If we stop two of the three Horford and
yeah,
Harris,
that's fair,
like,
that's
it's all good. I don't think Richardson's single-handedly winning the game. Smash cut to Richardson having a career high.
I mean, Horford has been struggling shooting.
Yes. Gotta assume Tobias has taken the most shots of anybody.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah.
For their sake, I guess. I don't know, man. What, like, the bench can crush now. Shaman had 19 points last time.
Yeah.
And again, they're deplete, like...
Man, who do you think has a bigger revenge game, Shamit or Harris?
Well, I said that Shamit's isn't a revenge game. Shamit's is the... Unfortunate that I was a young piece and you guys made a trade when you had to make it no hard feelings game.
Gotcha.
And Tobias, I don't know if he has a revenge game. Because he was cool with the team.
Yeah. He had a great game last
time. I will
time
say
too.
This. I'm going to get on my soapbox a little bit.
All right.
Just because a guy used to play on a team doesn't mean every time he plays the former team that it's a revenge game.
But the narrative.
It's not a narrative, though.
But the narrative.
Unless Tobias was like, I hate Steve Ballmer. Then it's a revenge. But it's just like, oh, I got to try, like, pretty, you know, we offered him the extension. He knew he was going to get more. Like, it's a mutual.
Yeah.
Not every game's a revenge game. Look, get off my back about this. This is to nobody. What's your prediction for this weird-ass game?
I'm going to say... We get a comfortable dub here. I'm going to say like 121-06.
That's comfortable. I don't know what's going to happen. I think we're going to win. I'm going to leave it at that.
All right, it might be too close. That's fair.
Oof. Hope it's not, though. Let us know what you think is going to happen in this weird-ass game.
It's really hard to...
I don't know. Like, I was like,
what's the line at right now?
It's not up yet.
Oh, gotcha.
I would... Probably guess it's going to be Clippers minus 8.
That's fair.
I don't know. I wouldn't make anything crazier than that. Coming after this, we got a Love, Marry, Kill and a special shout out to a possible Lou Will pregame song that if you've been on Twitter today, you've definitely heard. But first, if you're a listener of this podcast, we're sure you've heard all the great advertising working with Locked On to reach sports fans,
but...
As Macho Man Randy Savage once eloquently said on the Arsenio Hall show, you may not know that Locked On Clippers is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Clippers fans just like you.
Woo!
Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a genius Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with the Clippers fans, let's get in touch. Text word advertising to 33777. Or is it lockedonpodcast.com/advertising? Let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help you achieve Locked On advertising success. One more time, text word advertising to 33777. Or is it lockedonpodcast.com/advertising? We look forward to hearing from you. Hey, hey, welcome to Love, Marry, Kill.
Hey, 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 what's going on?
Should we start with the Love, Marry, Kill and then give the little pregame note at the end?
Yes.
I feel like that's a nice thing to end
yeah.
on. So you were just on a wonderful vacation.
Yeah.
After kind of a weird day. At your former job?
It's been a strange time.
Welcome to Locked On Layoff.
Will's going through it.
Locked On, Will's going through it. So we're doing vacation-themed things.
Oh, I love a vacay.
But, yeah. You're the unemployed guy who's like, I'm just on vacation. I'm just kicking it. We're going to do on vacations the Clippers are going to take after the long road to the Larry O.B. The Gary O.B., as I call it in Canada. We got some weird ones on here. This is one of my... We got the first one here. Bev goes back to being just a kid from Chicago.
All right.
And what I mean by that is that Patrick Beverley literally reverts back to a childlike state of attire and speech during the offseason when he goes back home. He uses kid voice and pretends to not understand the concept of things like money, religion, or politics. He's just a kid from Chicago.
So it's a reverse big.
Yeah, pretty much.
But no magic.
But no, maybe. No, because he's choosing to do this.
Okay.
He's walking with his mom. He's holding her hand. He loses her at the store, and he's like, where's my mom? But it's just Pat Bev in like a floppy hat and overalls.
I wish there was like a Honey, I Shrunk the Kid type element to it. Honey, I Shrunk the Pat.
Yeah, maybe
that movie take place in Chicago?
I don't think that family was living in Chicago. I don't think anyone was using a shrink gun in Chicago. And yeah, I don't think that was happening. Marcus Morris shadows his brother for the offseason.
Okay.
Marcus mirrors his brother's movement for the whole offseason. What I mean by this is he's standing behind him the whole time doing the same movement.
It's like he's a shadow?
Yes. He's shadowing his brother. I forgot that you put one in here too. Jermichael Green goes to Alabama and cosplays as Forrest Gump. Jermichael Green, an Alabama alum and very supportive Roll Tide fan, he has a full back piece tattoo that is...
Of Forrest Gump?
No, of the Roll Tide elephant. That would be dope. He goes back to Alabama, but he's dressed as Forrest Gump, suit during the day, Bama football outfit at night.
Okay.
He's just doing regular Jermichael things, but as Gump.
Like, is he doing the voice, too?
Sometimes. Only when there's a line to be said. And then he'll, like, look at the people, like, do you get it? And they're like, dude, we get it. Your dress is Forrest Gump.
Okay, in which era of Forrest Gump? Like, is he in the suit? Is he in... Is he in a shrimp outfit?
I believe I just said suit and Alabama football uniform.
I missed that key detail. So
he's not veteran Forrest Gump.
And he's not, so he doesn't have the beard or the...
No. And then the final one, the Will Updike special. You go ahead.
You do it.
Big Patrick Patterson hits Japan. He goes to take on the biggest Pokemon gym leaders. He's an avid Pokemon player, loves Pokemon Snap, which is a fact that I still feel like not enough people know about. He's also dressed as Pikachu the whole time.
And he also just runs into Thundercat maybe and they buy some silk jackets together.
I bet Patrick Patterson with Thundercat would hang out. What do you love marrying and killing right here?
Okay. I'm going to go with my kill first and I got to go... I think I got to kill... Bev goes back to being a kid from Chicago just because it's really creepy to me. It just makes me think of like the Michael Scott thing when he's doing
I'm hungry, Mom. Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
And it really creeps me out. So I got to kill that one.
All right, not a fan of the meta humor. Got that.
I guess I'm marrying Jermichael Green, going back to Alabama and cosplaying as Forrest Gump.
He can shrimp, too.
I want to see him shrimping.
Okay.
Does
he make one of his friends sit in a wheelchair and be Lieutenant Dan?
Yes, and I was just wondering who. I was thinking maybe Shamit, but...
Sit in the chair, Landry, and when you fall over, pretend you can't get back in the chair.
But I also just like the idea of Jermichael Green sitting on a park bench in Alabama and just like waiting to tell stories to people.
I don't think waiting. I think he's just telling stories.
Well, yeah, I guess that's fair.
And which one are you marrying?
I'm marrying the Morris Shadow brother.
Yeah.
It's
a good one. It's a true sibling petty move.
Yeah.
That you would do to start a fist fight with your sibling.
I just wonder, I mean, I don't think that it would last very long.
Because there would be a fist fight.
I do think that there would be an altercation, yes.
Yeah. Morris would be like, oh, I wish I could, Marcus would be like, wish I could be doing this longer, but you know, we had to play a few extra games, so I'll catch up. I think I'm flipping it. I'm loving Bev going back and being just a kid from Chicago.
Why do you love this?
It's so weird. It would be the weirdest thing for a professional athlete to do. And I think he would
this
do
is
it.
Like, you're loving this from a fetish standpoint, almost.
From like a standpoint of like, Doc always said this, so now I'm going to make Doc regret saying this.
I see.
Like, he's tired of the cliche. Because he's a grown-ass man.
So it's more of a punishing thing.
Yeah, he's like a million degrees of separation punishing Doc for overusing a cliche.
All right.
Which I, look, if there's one thing I love, it's petty revenge that really doesn't affect anything.
Because it seems like it hurts him more than...
Yeah, because Doc's like, oh, what did I do? I also would love to see the look on, like, the store clerk's face when it's like Pat Beth.
A 32-year-old man acting like a child?
Yes. I'm marrying Patterson in Japan.
All right.
I think he would fall into like an ambassadorship role.
I think he would crush.
Yeah, until he angered
the... Like, people would be excited.
Yeah, not literally.
I don't think he's stepping on people. He's on Godzilla.
I think he would make a bunch of friends, then he would post something weird on social media, and they'd be like, all right, you got to get out of here now. And then, I don't know if I want to kill any of these, if I'm being totally honest.
That's fair. That's fair.
Jermichael Green as Forrest Gump's pretty funny.
Jermichael, I just love the visual of it. He's also like, I don't know, he's just like such a nice,
he's such a soft-spoken
dude. Like it just kind of, I don't know.
Marcus Morris shadowing his brother. You know what? I'm replacing the Bev thing. The Bev thing's weird. I'm loving the Marcus Morris thing.
It's just,
it's so funny because they also might share an apartment. He like talked about how they'd get an apartment if Keith went to the Lakers.
Yeah.
I had brother, and like my brother Sean and Connor used to like, dude, like bloody fights, like horrific fights. I can't imagine what the Morris brothers would do if Marcus Morris was using his championship ring to taunt his brother while he was mirroring his movements.
We were so far apart in age, me and my siblings, not that far, but like my sister is three years and my brother was like another four.
Yeah.
The things were never physical. We would just try to annoy each other like as much as possible, as humanly possible, until the person would relent.
Would just start. Yeah, see, Sean and Connor and I, just all fists, baby. You say one thing, it's on site. That about wraps up for Love, Marry, Kill. We have to give a very quick shout out. There's a song out. It came out yesterday. It came out on Wednesday. It's by RMR. It's called Rascal. It's phenomenal.
It's the future.
It's something that my girlfriend is going to be so tired of me playing while I solemnly look into a glass of whiskey. But it's a country trap song.
Yeah.
Anthem. It's the only way I can really describe it. You should go look at it. They're LA guys. Stream it. Post it. We're talking about it because...
It seems like a song Lou Will would sing in the locker room.
It very much seems like a Lou Will pregame song. I'm going to report this on Friday if we ever hear it. But go check out RMR Rascal. It's worth it.
You're worth it.
Yes. We're all worthy of this. Well, we might not be worthy of the song, but no, I'm happy it's out.
But you're worth it.
Oh, the listeners are for sure. Me? Oh, God, no. I didn't do anything to deserve this song. That about wraps it up.
Yeah, I think that'll do it.
For this Friday edition of Locked On Clippers. We're going to be doing a live stream after the game on Friday. Yep. Quick recap. Let everyone know.
Yeah.
That hopeful victory. Monday.
Unless it's a bad loss, we're probably out.
If it's a bad loss, it's just going to be a live stream of us just ripping shots at Hanks. Got a good fireball PBR deal over there. Monday's episode, though, we will have a full recap of both of the hopeful victories.
That's right.
Against the Nuggets and 76ers. Taking a look at the new guys on the freshies, now that there's been enough time to kind of, I think, really evaluate.
Take a look.
How it looks. I'm pro it already. And then whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, y'all can find us at Spotify, Deezer, iTunes, Google Casts, Google Pods, Bezos Casts, Bloomberg Casts. Actually, don't listen to either of those I just said. Rate, subscribe, review. We'll read it on the pod, even if it's mean. Why not?
Yeah.
I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Update. Appreciate you.